23, who can say it? Ellie, let's hear it. Nice job, Ellie. Nice job, Ellie. You even did it before Mr. Tom did. Good job, Ellie. Anybody else? Wyatt. Out of the mouth of babes, I have perfected praise. Out of the mouth of babes, I have perfected praise. You watch. You watch. I am moving in their lives. I am fashioning their hearts after me. Listen. Listen. Out of the mouth of babes, I have perfected praise. Praise you, Jesus. Okay, do we have it up on the projector? All right. I wanted to, as I was meditating on this morning and asking the Lord, I was asking, how do you want us to meditate on this today? And the word issues out of that first translation really jumped out at me, and I was looking back at my notes. What does issues mean? Have been taught by Jim Richards before. What does that issues word mean? I know you know. Anybody else? It determines the issue. For out of it flow the issues of life. Issues is your boundaries. And if we're dealing with any kind of lack today, like the Lord spoke at the beginning, I am here to deal with those issues. I am here to deal with that lack. I am here to deal with that insecurity. Issues are the boundaries in our heart that keep us from grabbing a hold of everything that God has already provided for us. Amen? So the key is there to keep your heart, to guard your heart. First of all, find out what's in it. Second of all, protect that, and then keep track of it, or keep... don't let anything in that shouldn't be there, and get everything out that's not. So we put off and we put on. Amen? And that's the key to moving the boundaries. If you feel like you're just surrounded by lack and surrounded by fear and surrounded by insecurities, then find out what's in your heart. Find out what your belief system says. If you're lacking peace, why is that? You believe something about either yourself or about God or about those around you. There's a belief in there that's keeping that boundary in there, that's keeping you bound in fear. So we have to find out what's on the inside of our heart, put it off if it doesn't belong there, and put on what belongs there, and then that boundary can get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. So let's say it all again together. Let's say the first translation. Ready? Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issue of life. Amen and amen. All right, kids, you ready? I believe you're awake and ready to receive change for our noisy offering. And this is going, it's not the last week of the month, so this is going toward more renovations. So let's do it. Yeah.
God. Hallelujah. Rob has something to share.
Some of you, when you were hearing the scriptures, we might have been thinking, oh, we're not really lacking anything. We're living really well. But I was hearing in my head, if we're not able to give to all good things, then we are lacking that. And we must get ourselves to that point where we can give to all good things. Every single one of us should be able to just give to everything God wants us to give to.
Praise God. Tina has something to share.
I'll look like a raccoon when I'm done because my makeup's going to run. It has something to do with what you just said. I don't want to contradict you, but I've heard you talking about dressing nice when you come to church because you want to represent what's in you and what God wants you to be, and dancing and praising the Lord. But I have to say that part of how you get there, you can put on pretty clothes, but you don't feel it. And you can move around a little bit, but if you're not feeling it inside, I don't see the point in doing it. It's fake. So what I want to say is that you came to me one day and said hello and introduced yourself, and that means the world to me. She gave me a hug today. That's breaking down the walls. And that's why I cry every time I come here, because it's breaking down the walls and it's getting through all the pain and letting it get out. And that's not who I really am. But I want to say to all you that the more you reach out to people, the more you're doing God's work, in my opinion. And even if it's hard, like it is for me to stand up here, please do it, because you're helping people get through all that crap and get to really who they should be.
Amen. Praise God. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, we have a guest speaker today, so kids can go to class up to age 12. They can go to class. And Josh is going to come this morning and minister.
Oh, geez. Hi. It's good to see everybody. Thank you, Jesus. I just want to, first of all, say how thankful I am, you know, that we're in a house and that there's freedom here to walk in what God is putting on our hearts. And that Diane is open to the Holy Spirit and lets us exercise, because this takes exercise, it takes practice. And I'm really thankful for that, because there's not a lot of places I would venture to guess that most places wouldn't, you know, let somebody come and share, and it would be very, you know, and there's a place for everything, but I'm glad that we're safe and free to share, and because it's hard, it is difficult to get up here and be obedient, and and God spoke to me years ago and said, you know, I want you to teach. And at first, I was like, okay, great. And then after doing it a little and trying to, you know, I became overcome with fear, my own faults and failings. And so he's relentless, because he has a will and he has a plan. And he so much wants to manifest through us. We are his body. That's the reality of it. We are here to carry his will in the earth. So the most important thing is our relationship with Jesus. The most important thing, absolutely, above everything else, is our relationship with Jesus. And the most precious thing is his presence. And the most valuable thing is his blood. There is nothing more valuable than the blood of Jesus. That's it. So, I have a really exciting topic for everybody. Everybody's going to get really excited about this. Ready? Submission and obedience. Praise the Lord. Oh my. So this is a miracle in and of itself because I am not known to be submissive and obedient. And I would ask why, not because I wanted understanding, but while you're telling me why, I'm developing an exit strategy. By the time you're done telling me why I should do something, I've figured out why I'm not going to do it. So that's my default. So this is, you're witnessing the power of God right now. So I believe, and I'm, this isn't doom and gloom, this isn't anything to fear. There's nothing to fear in the Lord. When we're close to the Lord, there's nothing to fear. But there is an urgency for us to get close to the Lord, be obedient to the Lord, learn the voice of the Lord, and it's really important in the days to come. And I've said it before, I'll say it again, we need to labor while there's daylight. We live in a free country where we can go and love Jesus in public, and somebody might not like it, but that's the most that's going to happen. Is somebody's not going to like it. We need to take advantage of this time and get close to Jesus. And get close and learn how to hear his voice. Learn how to be obedient. Because the rest of the world isn't so lucky. And it's very likely that we're not going to be so likely and that darkness is going to come. But if we're close to Jesus, there's safety. So we need to learn how to be submissive and obedient. And again, like I said, we are the body of Christ. And does anybody know what the word apocalypse means? So you hear the word apocalypse, and because of mistranslation, misunderstanding, everybody, it's the end of the world. No, the word apocalypse is a very simple word. It means revelation. When the Bible was first translated, the book of Revelation was the book of the apocalypse of Jesus Christ. It just means revelation. It just means that Jesus Christ is being revealed. So there's the verse in Romans 8:19. It says, all of creation is groaning in expectation of the revealing of the sons of God. That's the same word, that word apocalypse. Creation is waiting for the apocalypse of the sons of God. What if they're the same thing? What if the revelation of Jesus Christ is the revelation of the sons of God? I mean, God has one son, one only begotten son. We're it. We're waiting for Jesus to return, right? We're waiting, sitting, waiting for Jesus to return. What if all of creation is waiting for us to step into what we're supposed to be doing? I said this last, if this is kind of a continuation of the last time I was up here, so if you can go back, that's in the archives. So I hope at the end of this everyone's encouraged. This isn't about fear. This is about, the power of God manifest through us and in us. And there's no need for fear. Because God's asking every single one of us to step out into something. Whatever, he is. And many of us may already know what that is. But, there's all kinds of reasons not to. He didn't call us to come and get comfortable. Amen. That's not, Amen. It's not like he said, okay, I'm leaving now. Here's a blanket. curl up and watch Netflix and I'll be back. That's not it. The comforter was given so that we could go into uncomfortable situations and know that he's with us. Amen. 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 We're supposed to go places where it's not nice and it's not happy and it's not fluffy, and we're to bring him there. And that's why he gave us the Holy Spirit. So that's one of the reasons why he gave us the Holy Spirit, to guide us through those things. We can trust him and know he's with us. In the book of Revelation, John is writing to the churches, and at the end, and a lot of people have equated the churches to different periods of time, and so they've said that the church of Laodicea is the last church. I don't know, that might be true, that might just be something, but if it is, you know, Laodicea is the church that he says, you are lukewarm, and since you are neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. And I can't help but kind of pick up that impression from churchianity in the environment we live in. But this isn't like, you got to understand, being lukewarm is a deception. If we're lukewarm, it's because we're deceived. People think by not stepping out in their gift that they're being humble. And I'm just gonna sit, because I don't wanna disrupt anything. God wants you to disrupt things. You're supposed to disrupt. Jesus came and disrupted things. He shook things up. He wants us to get out and disrupt things. You know, and the reality is that, like, for me, this is humbling. Like, I want to get this message across, and I want to do it in a way that everybody's going to understand and take hold of, but it's not humility for me to blow it off and say, you know, I'm just going to sit back there and not share what God has put on my heart. So, and another thing is, you know, nobody wants to look like a fool. Nobody, you know, wants to get up and make a fool of themselves and say the wrong thing and do the wrong thing and have some sort of embarrassing thing happen. So we fear that. We sit down. We don't want to look like that. But God has chosen the foolish things of this world, you know, to confound the wise. And he's chosen the weak things to confound the strong. So that's, you know, that works in. That's like, if we're foolish, if we're weak, praise God, because God's going to use us. God's going to use us to shake things up in that state. He's going to be glorified, not us. He doesn't share his glory. It's his glory. You know, anybody know that song, Undignified? Is anybody? I will dance, I will sing to be mad for my king. Nothing, Lord, is hindering the passion in my soul. Anybody know that? I will dance, I will sing to be crazy for my king. Nothing, Lord, is hindering this passion in my soul. And I will become even more undignified than this. Some would say it's foolishness, but I will become even more undignified than this. So we know that song? Na, 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 na. That's another, like, like I said, you're witnessing the power of God right now, because that's, I just sang in front of you. All right. Now we're going to get into the Bible. I have a very small Bible today. Everybody knows this section of Scripture, James 4, 1 through 10. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire, but you do not have, so you kill. I'm curious about that. I read that, and he's talking to the church, and I'm wondering if he has knowledge of people in the church actually going out and killing because they didn't get what they, like, I'm just, that's a side note, but I'm curious about that. Like, so this is what he says. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. And when you do ask God, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you want to get your pleasures. You adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? That's a very clear relationship there that he's made. There's no in-between. Friendship with the world is enmity against God. He can kind of like the world. No, it's cut and dry. Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes enemy of God. Or do you think the scripture says without reason that he jealously longs for the spirit he has caused to dwell in us? But he gives us more grace. That is why scripture says God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God and he will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Grieve, mourn, and wail. Change your laughter to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. That sounds terrible. It says, humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. So, verse 7, we all know this. Submit yourselves to God, then resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You can't resist the devil without submitting to God. And we know the power of the devil's in lies, right? It's not like we're fighting this big scaly thing and, you know, it's not like, no, it's, he's a liar. We can't resist those lies. We live in this realm of confusion. We cannot resist. And the very idea that we could just resist the devil and he would flee without submission to God is itself a lie. That itself is a deception. And it goes hand in hand. So that's established. Submit to God. Resist the devil. When you're in the presence of God, has anybody experienced this? When you're in the presence of God, God is everything to you. And then this little lie comes, and you're like, okay. And you go away because you're not resisting the devil. You're in this place of, you know, euphoria. I mean, that's what happened in the garden. They're in the garden. They're in paradise, surrounded by the splendor and glory of God, walking with God in the cool of the day. And they still, cool. I'm going to have all the knowledge, and I'm going to become like God. That's great. Wonderful. You know, so it's twofold. We need to submit to God and submit and resist the devil, and he will flee. It goes hand in hand. So the next thing I want to read, and this is a big, there's one little part of this group of scripture that I want to emphasize, but I want to like lay the foundation here. So it's in 1 Samuel chapter 15. Again, it's a familiar story. Samuel said to Saul, I am the Lord sent to anoint you king over this people, Israel. So listen now to the message from the Lord. This is what the Lord Almighty says. I will punish the Amalekites for what they did to Israel when they waylaid them as they came up from Egypt. Now go attack the Amalekites and totally destroy all that belongs to them. Do not spare them. Put to death men and women and children and infants and cattle and sheep and camels and donkeys. Like, that's brutal. Total violence. Annihilate them completely. So Saul summoned the men and mustered them to Telaim, 200,000 foot soldiers and 10,000 from Judah. Saul went to the city of Amalek and sent an ambush. Speaking in tongues. And set an ambush in the ravine. Then he said to the Kenites, go away, leave the Amalekites, so that I do not destroy you along with them. You showed kindness to all the Israelites when they came up out of Egypt. So the Kenites moved away from the Amalekites. Then Saul attacked the Amalekites all the way from Havilah to Shur, near the eastern border of Egypt. He took Agag, king of the Amalekites, alive. He did not kill him. He took him alive. And all his people he totally destroyed with the sword. But Saul and the army spared Agag and the best of the sheep and the cattle and the fat calves and lambs, everything that was good. These they were unwilling to destroy completely, but everything that was despised and weak they totally destroyed. Then the word of the Lord came to Samuel, "I regret that I have made Saul king because he has turned away from me and has not carried out my instructions." Samuel was angry, and he cried out to the Lord all that night. Early in the morning, Samuel got up and sent and went to meet Saul, but he was told, "Saul has gone to Carmel. There he has set up a monument in his own honor." Wow. That's crazy. So this guy has the gall. Anyway, in his own honor, and has turned, gone down to Gilgal. When Samuel reached him, Saul said, "The Lord bless you. I have carried out the Lord's instructions." I could just see like a little glimmer like of light, bing, off his tooth as he's, "Look at me. Look what I did." Saul answered, "The soldier," "but Samuel said, 'What then is this bleating of sheep in my ears? What is this lowing of cattle that I hear?' Saul answered, 'The soldiers brought them back from the Amalekites. They spared the best of the sheep and the cattle to sacrifice the Lord your God.'" See, it's not even his God. He's like, "The Lord your God. We're going to sacrifice to your God. But we totally destroyed the rest." "Enough," Samuel said to Saul. "Let me tell you what the Lord said to me last night." "Tell me," Saul replied. Samuel said, "Although you were once small in your own eyes, did you not become the head of the tribes of Israel? The Lord anointed you king over Israel, and he sent you on mission, saying, 'Go and completely destroy these wicked people, the Amalekites, wage war against them until you have wiped them out.' Why did you not obey the Lord? Why did you pounce on the plunder and do evil in the eyes of the Lord?" And Saul says, "But I did obey the Lord. I went on a mission the Lord assigned me, completely destroyed the Amalekites, and brought back Agag, their king. The soldiers took the sheep and cattle from the plunder, the best of what was devoted to God, in order to sacrifice in the Lord." But Samuel said, and this is the point, "Does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as much as obeying the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice, and the heed is better than the fat of rams. For rebellion is like the sin of divination, and arrogance like the evil of idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you as king." And Saul said to Samuel, "I have sinned. I violated the Lord's command and your instructions. I was afraid of the men." So I was afraid. That's very familiar to what happens in Eden. I was afraid. You know, it was the men. It was these men you gave me. They did it. They made me sin against your God. What am I going to do? "Now I beg you, forgive me, forgive my sin and come back with me so that I may worship the Lord." And then it just goes downhill for Saul. He's just bad times ahead for him. But so, you know, we have our own rituals and sacrifices that we obey. You know, we come to church on Sunday, we pay our tithe, like, and that's all good, that's all what we're supposed to do, you know, but there's more, there's a daily word coming to us from God that he wants us to obey. But this is what I found really interesting. So in verse 23, he makes this equation: for rebellion is like the sin of divination, and arrogance like the evil of idolatry. Divination is fortune telling. So, you know, God gives us a future. He shows us what our days are to be, and he says, "This is an obey me, and this is going to go. Everything's going to go well with you." And when we don't do that, we say, "Well, I'm going to go chase after my future." Like, who are we to even, like, we don't even know. He knows, but we're just. So he equates the two, like going after our own will is like fortune telling. It's vapor, you know, it's just a weird thing. And arrogance is like the evil of idolatry. So you're setting yourself above God. You're setting yourself, I know better. I know better than God. Idolatry is funny to me. So, you know, God makes man in his image and likeness, gives him dominion over the entire earth, and man takes a rock or a piece of wood and puts a smiley face on it and puts that useless thing above himself. He says, now I'm going to listen to this rock. Like, it's weird, but we do that, like, in different ways. We, like, they did it more literally back then. You know, it's just strange to me because that's what it is. We have a position that God put us in to be like him. And we take things that are like so much below us and put them above ourselves and put them above God. And it's, you know what, if you're getting that, it's like, it's weird. It's like if we really see from that perspective, like who God is and who he made us to be. Another thing, and this is kind of off the point, but, you know, like, manipulate. This is something the Lord showed me years ago. It's not the entire thing, but manipulation. We deal with manipulation in our culture where, you know, people guilt trip people into doing things and everything. That's witchcraft. That's like, we have this idea of pointy hats and green skin and cauldrons and stuff like that, but what that is you're casting a spell on somebody. You know, and we do it to our children. Like, that's the worst. We guilt them into doing things, and then they learn this language of manipulation, and then they grow up manipulating the people around them. And this is just the way we speak. This is just the way we do things, but it's this pervasive thing. So if we're aware of that, if we're aware, see, for a child, it's okay to say to a child, because I said so. That's far better than making them feel guilty and trying to persuade them to do something that way. It's far better to say, I am your parent, and I said so. Far better. There might be better ways to say, but it's like I said with me. Like, if I ask why, it's because I'm looking for a way out. A child knows that. They're wanting to know why. They're trying to find a way out. It cuts right to the chase when you say, because I said so. And it's the same thing with God. It's the same thing with God. Why, God? Do you need a reason? I am God. I own it all. Like, God's much more patient and gentle with us than that. But really, do you need a reason? I think I know better. You know, God's not snarky. I'm sorry. So it would benefit us to be aware of these attitudes in our own hearts and approach things in love. You being blessed, us being blessed and prosperous is a glory to God. It glorifies God when he can bless us and prosper us, and people can see that, and we can give the glory to God. We don't say, oh, this is because, look what I did. I got the best of the cattle. No, it glorifies God when he's glorified because we were doing well in our lives. But if we're seeking prosperity and comfort before seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness, we're out of alignment. We're not plugged in. So we really need to have a right perspective there. It says, store up your treasures in heaven. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. What is treasure? It's real simple. Treasure is anything you value. It's anything that means something to you. So if the things of this world are valuable to you, they're going to fail. Like, it's not even an if or when. It's like the things of this world are going to burn. They're going to not be worth anything. So when they do get destroyed, when the things of this world do come to ruin, and our heart is wrapped around that thing, it's taking a piece of our heart. God wants to save our souls. If our souls are wrapped up in the things of this world, when they eventually fail, we're hurt. That's where the majority of our pain comes from. The majority of our pain comes from when the things we value, either the idea of them failing or when they actually do fail. So what do we value? What's the treasure of heaven? We value the nature of Christ. We value the Word of God. We value love. We value the will of God. What is your will? I want to do your will. What is it that you want me to accomplish? What do you want to do through me? That is value. That I hunt for that like a treasure. I hunt. You know, that's where we need to develop our hearts to that point. It's like where the things of heaven, and find them in your life. Find them in the Word. Find all these things that are treasures and value them, because you're going to go after that. Don't let anything stop you from going after that, the value of the things of heaven. And here's, you know, when you value things that are fallible, you don't go beyond them. They limit you from moving beyond them, because you're not going to risk losing the things you value. So it's also another point, because this isn't just things, it's people too. It's people. This is why we're not supposed to be unequally yoked. Because if somebody's going this way and God wants us to go this way, we're going to have a hard time. Like, you know, at best it's going to disrupt, at best it's going to disrupt our walk with God. It's going to temporarily postpone our obedience to God. And at worst, it's going to get us to go completely away. And we have ideas of people anyway, really, when it comes down to it. We just have ideas of people. We build them up in our hearts Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You know why the streets of heaven are paved with gold? I'll put it this way. What would you pay for a chunk of asphalt? Right? Somebody comes up to you, I've got this. It just came out of the road. It's covered in tar. What do you give me for it? That's the value of gold in heaven. It's meant to be trod under your feet. It's not worth anything. Great, it's shiny, but nobody's down there with a pickaxe. Let me see if I can go trade this into the heavenly bank and get some heaven bucks. Because Jesus is filling the entire, there is nothing more valuable. Nobody cares that the streets are paved with gold because we're Jesus. So why is this important? Again, there's an urgency for us to get increasingly closer to the heart of God. For the most part, again, we live in a very comfortable environment. We don't have to deal with heavy persecution or the threat of our village being burned down because we're Christians. Maybe we get into an argument on Facebook every now and again and we get hurt feelings. Another scripture, Jeremiah 7, 22-23. Same thing. It really says the same thing. For when I brought your ancestors out of Egypt and spoke to them, I did not just give them commands about burnt offerings and sacrifice, but I gave them this command: obey me, and I will be your God, and you will be my people. Walk in obedience to all I command you, that it may go well with you. It will go well with us. It will go well with us when we're obedient to God. There's nothing to fear in obedience to God. Only if we fear losing something that we're going to lose anyway. You know? Like, that's the only thing, and that really, like, we need to get rid of that. So here's the price of obedience to God. When you're young, around Christmas time, you see all the things you want, all the toys around your birthday. I want it, I want it, I want it. I give it to me. And you get it and you unwrap it and it's the most amazing thing for 5 seconds. And the box is amazing. Let me go make a fort. And you know, and it ends up, you know, it ends up in the pile. There's really no, and then it, you're on to the next thing. And Billy down the street has something better, and you want that. And just, then you get a little older, and you get a job. And you start getting work. I'm working so hard. I got money, and I'm going to buy a toaster. That toaster is like the most, this is my toaster. I'm going to shine it. I'm going to put it here. We're not going to put donuts in it. We're only going to put toast in it. This is my toaster. Don't, it's my, and you know, the toaster goes with you everywhere from apartment to apartment. It's your toaster. Because you worked for it. You paid for it. It's valuable to you. And you apply that to anything. You paid for it. Let's say you make something. Let's say you have an art or a craft you do and you're working on it, you're developing it to the point where one day, you're actually able to create what's in your mind and your heart, and you look at this thing and it's beautiful and you love it, and it just, and it has this place in your heart, and you put it on a shelf, and if it breaks, you know, you're intimately acquainted with that thing. You know how to fix it. You can put it back together again. You know it, and it's awesome. And then the next level is you have a child. You have a child. This little person who kind of looks like me, who's like, they're learning things and they're growing. And I remember that. And it's awesome. And you would do anything for them. Anything. You would give them anything you possibly could. God fathered us. He made us. And he bought us. We are so valuable to him. We are his most prized possession. Obedience to God is nothing, because he will not let harm come to us. He will not let harm come to us. He will not. He says, I want you, I need you as my servant, as my ambassador, as the one that I love. I need you to go into that fire. Because I have more children in that fire. I need you to bring me to them. And we said, well, it's fire. It's okay. You won't get burned. I need you to go. And we go, and we say, this is Jesus. He wants to bring you out of the fire. And they say, oh, awesome, I've been waiting for you. Or they say, okay, no, I'm good. And that's fine. That's what they, you know, it's, we just need to make that connection, and but we need to go there first. We can't say, oh no, I'm afraid of burning. No, we got to go. That, he's not, he loves us so much, and he needs us to do this. He needs us to do this. But in the whole thing, we need to stay humble and obedient and devote ourselves to prayer, devote ourselves to the kingdom of God. Another thing goes along with this. It blows my mind that Jesus was a carpenter. I mean, I don't know. Is there a passage that actually says he was a carpenter, or does it just call him the son of a carpenter? Either way, I think he, you know, he was trained up and raised. Joseph, as his earthly father, showed him what to do. You know, there is not one woodworking tool that doesn't cause violence. They tear, they cut, they rip, they abrade, they smash. All of the tools that you, like, oh, well, what about a paintbrush? It just, well, you know, we're not whitewashing things. We're not covering them up. The things that you have a tree, and then you're going to make it into this ornate thing that holds your clothes. Everything that's used to do that is going to destroy that wood. This is the difference between submission and rebellion. When we're submissive, the work is easy. The work is like a sharp chisel going through the wood, as opposed to a dull, used up, notched out chisel that just chunks out big, nasty chunks of wood, and then when it's done, it's not pretty at all. You have to sharpen the tools. You have to sharpen this blade so that it's razor sharp. And when you do that, you take a stone and you put oil on the stone. You anoint the stone and you bring that blade back to the point where it's so sharp. And then when you run it across that wood, it curls up so easily, like butter. It just comes right off. So submission is this, falling under the anointment of God, falling with the Holy Spirit to comfort you while this is happening. Saying, okay, Jesus, I will let this go. This thing that my heart is wrapped up in, I'll let it go. So and it's just, okay, here we go. We're going to turn, because we are being built into, you know, God's beautiful creation. He's making something beautiful. We have to submit to this process. One more scripture that I want to use to illustrate this. 1 Corinthians 16:15, and this is really interesting. It says, I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints, that ye submit yourselves unto such, and to everyone that helpeth with us and laboreth. They have addicted themselves. Diane mentioned addiction last week a little bit, so I won't get too far into this, but Paul lays out the fruits of the Spirit, and the last one he says is self-control. Temperance is a fruit of the Spirit. So it's a fruit of the Spirit, so this thing has to grow, and it has to develop self-control. So that tells me that without the Spirit, I really don't have self-control. I'm subject to the wind. And addiction is one of these things you're subject to. You don't have any control. You're just tight. So these people who have the Holy Spirit have addicted themselves to the service of the saints. What does that mean? If I'm addicted, I don't feel right unless I'm doing what I'm addicted to. Something is not right. I gotta have it. I gotta go after it. I have to. When you're addicted to something, what happens physiologically is you are replacing things that your body naturally creates with a synthetic substitute. This is in the natural. So that when that substance is no longer there, the natural production of these chemicals and things, it's not happening the way it should. So you go through withdrawal because I'm now no longer producing the dopamine or the other neurotransmitters or the cortisol or whatever that this thing is replacing. So I'm out of balance. I'm not right. Because we have self-control, we can addict ourselves to the things of God, to the point where I'm not right unless I'm with Jesus, unless I have the Holy Spirit. So we chase after it. We do anything we can to get more of Jesus. Oh. That's where I want to go. That's where I want to go. We all know there's a song. I'm desperate for you. I'm lost without you. So I just want to spur everyone on to take every moment you can to addict yourself to the presence of God. Addict yourself to His will and His word. And find out what that is. Because the days are coming, the days are here, where it's like the military. Like, you just don't, you know, why, Sergeant? No! This is the order. This is what you do. There's no question. We really need to get to that point. And that's it.
Let the king of my heart be the mountain where I run, the fountain I drink from. Oh, you are my song. Let the king of my heart be the shadow where I hide, the ransom for my life. Oh, you are my song.
'Cause you are good. Oh, you are good, good. Oh, you are good, good. Oh, you are good, good. Oh,
let the king of my heart be the wind inside my sails, the anchor in the waves. Oh, you are my song. Let the king of my heart be the fire inside my veins, the echo of my days. Oh, you are my song.
Let the king
of my heart be the wind inside my sails, my song. Let the king of my heart be the fire inside my veins, the echo of my days. Oh, you are my song.
You are good, good.
Oh, gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. Good, good. Oh, you are good, good. Oh, you are good, good. Oh, you are good, good. Oh, you're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let, never gonna let me down. Oh, you are good, good. Darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken.
compares to this. What a beautiful name it is.
Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. What a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus.
Jesus.
My heart's cry is what Josh was talking about this morning, is being addicted to Jesus, and I've experienced some of it, so I know what he's talking about. But there are times it's almost painful. From the inside of me, just cries out to God. God, I want more. I want more. I want to just live in you. I want to be absorbed in you. God is a God of miracles. Just my heart cries. It's not even a head thing. But he has placed in my heart a cry out for a manifestation of the God of miracles in this place, in this congregation, to be ministered through this congregation. That's our future. How? I've never performed a miracle. So I take it one step at a time, you know? Walk in the auditorium this morning and it's just the presence of God, whether it's just people here or not, the presence of God is just getting stronger in this place. Even felt it in the foyer. That's the first time I felt it in the foyer this morning. So much that we don't have a clue what is available to us. Josh was talking about this morning, it starts with a decision. It starts with a, it's not a decision that, okay, this week, okay, I'm going to spend 4 hours in prayer. I'm going to spend an hour in the Bible every day. This is what I'm going to do. No, it's a one thought at a time. Turning your thoughts to Jesus. One thought at a time. It's one word at a time. It's one scripture at a time. It's trial and error, finding out what works for you. You need the Word of God in you on a daily basis. You need to spend time with God, not just on a daily basis, on an hourly, on a minute-by-minute basis. That's when your life begins to change. That's when you start to experience just the beginnings of what is available to us. So it's not a works thing. It's I'm in love with Jesus. I'm in love with God. And it's not like, okay, I've got to get in love with him, and then I can do this. No, it's a I'm going to make a choice. Like I talked about last week, I make a choice. I am going to think a God thought instead of a my thought. When I feel like, when I'm having a crappy day, I choose to be thankful. I choose to be thankful for something. I choose to say, Jesus, help me. God, I can't do this. Jesus, help me. I guarantee when you cry out to him, he is there to help you. You may not experience it always the way you think you should experience it and the way you want to, but Jesus is always there. His grace, the word says his grace is sufficient. His ability within you makes it available, makes it possible for you to do absolutely anything that you need to do. Anything that you face, you have the power, the grace inside of you. Once again, it's our choice. Are we going to tap into it, or am I going to do it like Josh is talking about? Am I just going to do it the way I've been doing it? You know, I'm in control. This is how I have to fix it, and this is what I need to do to make it happen like I want it to happen. It's a choice. Every day, it's a choice. Every hour, it's a choice. Every minute, it's a choice. Every second, it's a choice. I'm going to go to life, or I'm going to go to death. My choice. But from the experiences I have had, from the way my life has changed in the last 5 to 10 years, I can tell you from experience, I tell you from the Word of God, I guarantee you turn, the more you turn to God, the better life gets. The easier the problems become, the less the obstacles seem to be. There's so much available that we haven't experienced yet. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. We're going to receive our tithes and offerings. Oh, you have something?
So the word submission almost makes you feel like it's a negative connotation there, but I just hear the Lord say, you to submit, not to take away from what you want. I want you to submit so I can fill you with what I want, which far surpasses anything you could imagine. It's not, I love that song, it's not our righteousness, it's not our faithfulness. It's really not about us at all, except how much he loves us. And I love what Josh said about how he raised us, he fathered us, he purchased us. We are so valuable, and we put our value in wrong things, in worldly things, and how much money we make, and what kind of car we drive. And it should be just meditate on our value in him and submitting to him. And just resting in his arms and letting him live his life through us. And it'll bring us so much value and so much fulfillment to just submit, because he loves us.
Just quick. tithe and offering today. Let's envision us planting the seed. And then more seeds. We're going to have a harvest and then more seeds. I know we heard this before and I've heard other places and we just taught it recently, but we need to do it again. Every time we give, we envision the seed being planted, grow, harvest, and over many more seeds, and then we're going to give it all to God. And then all the what he wants to give us, we're giving it to him. It's just going to come back. We have to keep that on our mind, a love. Everything we do is love. When we're fighting his battles, we're doing it in love. That's it.
Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. We're going to receive our tithes and offerings. You know, the beginning of the year declared that I believe God, and I'm 100% convinced that this is God, that everybody gives something every week. And, you know, probably some of you, you know, when I get up here to talk about tithes and offering, it's like, blah, 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 money, blah, 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 money, blah, 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 money. But if you would hear my heart, I really believe that this is God. And you know, spending time in prayer the last couple of weeks over this, what I believe I heard is this is to your advantage. You know, everybody giving something every week is to your advantage. And as I've said before, you know, I'm not saying you have to tithe. I'm not saying how much you have to give. I'm saying out of what you have, make a decision, practice generosity, give something every week, and see what happens in your life. Because what you're doing is you're opening the door for God to move. It's not that God has to have you give, but, you know, one way, my sense is, you know, it's a warning. You know, God always says, you know, the scripture says, you know, you do this, you get this. You do this, you get this. So I believe that you know, God is speaking through this, working to your advantage, because he wants to protect you from some financial messes. And that's, you know, what this is about. It's not demanding. That's never what tithes and offerings is about. It's not about your money. It's about a relationship with you and God. Amen. Just a way for us to grow in him and develop ourselves in him. So I encourage you to listen to God this morning and see what he's going to accomplish in your life. I don't care if it's a penny. Literally, it doesn't matter. It's what's in your heart and that you're making a decision to obey and give something and see what God does in your lives. Amen? Let's do it.
From the moment that I wake up, put on my makeup, you are right there with me. Doesn't matter what I go through, you're my breakthrough. You know everything about me. You heard every prayer that came from my heart. You love me. You love me. When I think of how you made me, it's amazing. I reflect your beauty. Every moment that I'm living, no counting your thoughts towards me. Your grace woven through every part. And you love me. You love me.
I was made for worship and praise. To be lost in your embrace. I was made to love you always. I'm born to praise.
When I think of how you made me, it's amazing. I reflect your beauty. Every moment that I'm living, no counting your thoughts towards me. Your grace woven through every part. And you love me. You love me.
I was made to worship you. I was born to praise the King. Lift my hands and worship you. There's nothing like you, nothing like you. I was made to worship you. I was born to praise the King. Oh, oh, oh. I was made for worship and praise. To be lost in your embrace. I was made to love you always. I'm born to praise.
Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. You can be seated. Praise you, Jesus. I know our regular congregation, I don't think we have any more birthdays in March, but any visitors we have this morning, we speak a birthday blessing over you. This week is your birthday, so do we have anybody here this morning who this coming week is their birthday? We all good? Okie doke. Okay. I've got to bore you with some announcements this morning. First of all, I want to talk about our Spring Bazaar coming up in 2 weeks from yesterday. And I noticed that, we don't have a lot of signing up yet. And so, I just want to tell you, this is not just, it's not just a book sale. It's not just a kids event. This is an evangelism event. Some of you get on me because you want to do an evangelism event. Well, you better be signed up and be here and participate. Because this is an opportunity in a very easy way for us to interact with the community. For us to show how much God loves them. We don't even have to say anything, but show them. So I strongly encourage you to participate in this as if at all possible. Sign up is out there. If you can't be here that day, we need baked goods. Wendy says there's nobody signed up for baked goods. And we need promotion. Because of the weather, we were going to get a banner to put out by the road, but then we realized, there's a foot of ice, so there's no way to hang up a banner. So we need your promotion, through any social media, through, I don't know if we have any more flyers out there, but any way possible, we need you to promote. We have three local authors signed up to come and do book signing. We have a petting zoo for kids. We have cookie decorating, and what else do we have in there? We have storytelling. We have enough storytellers that probably the whole time, for the most part, we're going to have storytelling available, kids will have, to be able to sit there and hear stories read to them. And so I'm waiting to hear, it sounds like some of our storytellers here, we have several that have volunteered, and it sounds like some of them really like to get into it. So, if you're an adult, you may want to go in and listen to the storytelling. Need help, with the book sale. Used in new books. And we have some vendors coming. At this point, I don't think we have any homeschool. Yeah, apparently we have a competing event for homeschool. So we don't have any of that coming. But, like I said, we need to get people here. So any way you can advertise, most of what we have will be Christian books. So you advertise to your Christian, Christian friends, or let them know we're going to have a sale and everything. And so please be a part of our coming bazaar. Okay. And if you're a storyteller, Wendy wants to meet with all the storytellers after service. I think she said in Solid Rock. Okay. Another thing is Wednesday night. Men's fellowship is Tuesday night. Wednesday night we are going to work on bagging candy. So if you can do that, you can let Wendy know. Or I don't know if there's a sign up out there, but if you can let Wendy know whether you've signed up in the past or not, we're going to be bagging candy on Wednesday night if you can be a part of that. Let's see what else we have. Book group. Some of you signed up for our upcoming book discussion group. I have changed the name of the book that we're going to be using. This is going to be starting. The ones that signed up, I've talked to part of you, not all of you. But we were supposed to do, it was a book about the kingdom of God, entering the kingdom of God. For various reasons, the biggest one being that I started reading a book that I have read in the past of Dr. Richards, How to Stop the Pain. And this book is about emotional pain, about dealing with relationship issues. And to me, it's more important to deal with that than it is to learn about entering in the kingdom of God. And in fact, if you don't deal with these issues, you probably will not know how to live in the kingdom of God. So we are going to be starting that. If you haven't signed up and you're interested in this one, you're welcome to join us. The book you can get on Amazon. You can get it as a Kindle download, where the other one you couldn't. If you want me to order the book for you, then let me know and I will order it for you. We are starting that on April 11th. It'll be Thursday nights at 6:30. What else do I have? Oh, the other thing I wanted to say, first of all, I wanted to thank you, for everybody that was here yesterday. Thank you so much for your support. yesterday, and also for all of you that helped cleaning up and everything that you did. Praise God. Thank you for that. And also I want to thank all of you that were involved in painting last week, whether you donated food, that was a great blessing. Whether you actually came and painted, whether you actually gave towards it, praise God. You can see step one has been done. No disasters. A little bit of issues that we've got to clean up, but nobody dumped a bucket of paint or anything, which, you know, nobody did anything like that, and I have been known to do that in the past. So praise God, we got through it without any disaster. So once again, thank you for that. And my last thing is, two things. Easter candy sales. The forms are out there for you to sell Easter candy. And also, ones that with the wedding, I know not many of them went yesterday. I think they're probably back out there for, did the candy get put out? Okay, candy's out there. There are orange and yellow flowers. What I want you to do, this is a new recipe a new flavoring that we tried. The orange ones are orange creams. The yellow ones are lemon creams. So you can taste one of them today, and because they are on our candy order list. And so we're still, it's a new thing we've tried, so I need you to have your opinion on, yeah, this is good, no, this isn't going to go. And so we're curious for that. So please do a taste testing. I've got to force you to eat candy today. Okay, let's see. Last thing, had my final meeting with the building, my final decision meeting with the building inspector this week, and we do have to move the drums, so that will be happening in the near future. We will have to start from scratch and build a new cage, so that's probably your renovation money that you're giving, that will probably be going for that next. And let's see. And we have some other stuff to deal with, so we will be working on that in the future. And I think that's everything, I think. Praise God. Somebody knows something I forgot. Okay. Okay. Father, I thank you for this congregation. I thank you that we are blessed. We are children of the Most High God, so we're blessed. We're blessed coming. We're blessed going. We're blessed spirit, soul, and body. We are healthy, wealthy, and wise. We are full of righteousness, peace, and joy. We are motivated by love. I thank you, Lord, as we go forth this week rejoicing in you, that we will come back next week rejoicing once again for everything you're doing in us and for us. We thank you for it. We see it is done through Jesus Christ. Amen. Go.
I can see the clouds rolling. I can feel the winds, they try to shake me. I will not be moved. My feet are on the rock. I can feel the waters rise. I can hear the howling.
Your feet and clap your hands, our feet are on the rock.
On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. So stomp your feet and clap your hands, our feet are on the rock. I feel my hope above.